This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan Live. From the Gene Widener Plumbing Studios, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Former Packer, Badger running back, high school player of the year in Georgia, Gary Ellerson. And the inventor of the Lambo Leap, inventor of the Leap Rock, coming to a store near you. He is Leroy Butler.
I still don't know how this man is in Georgia, got all these accolades, and he went to Wisconsin. I can't wait to read that book.
Hey, just so you guys know, I'm flying the two-dog formation today.
Don't you always fly the two-dog formation now?
Well, not all the time. Yeah, not all the time.
Well, what do you do with the dogs?
Well, sometimes Maddie is over by Brock.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah, and then the puppy is always here, but I got both of them this week here. So
doubled them.
Yeah.
I learned that way in Wisconsin.
Two-dog formation today. We went for a nice little walk earlier, but it feels like the little one normally sleeps from 2 to 6. Isn't that a great thing?
No, not really. It means we put him to sleep. I don't see how that's a good thing.
Yeah, no,
how's that a good thing?
Well, she sleeps from 2 to 6.
She's quiet.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for you. I hope we're not doing that to everybody else. Hey, are the Badgers...
So, but
you're
quick,
not giving the dog Benadryl.
No. But now she's starting to stir a little bit, so we may have some issues. Yeah, hear a little bit in the background. Go and get to the Badgers, Steve.
Are the Badgers a top four team in college football? ESPN. ESPN.
Setup.
I'm just telling you what it says.
Yeah, it is. We didn't even have to touch this. This is all up your alley.
This was not my deal. You're calling after the wrong guy on this one, Leroy.
No, ESPN's I'm going after the right guy.
College Football Power Index currently has Ohio State number one, the Alabama Crimson Tide number two, the Clemson Tigers number three, and number four, by about a point, the Wisconsin Badgers. Followed up by Georgia, Penn State, and LSU. That's how it lines up. The next Big Ten team on this list.
Oklahoma not in there?
Oklahoma is number 13.
Wow.
Michigan is the next one after Penn State at 15 on this list. The Indiana Hoosiers are 18, Gary Ellerson. Northwestern is 19. Iowa is 20. Minnesota, 23 in this little power index here.
So you got five teams in the Big Ten in the top 25?
Yeah, somewhere along that line, maybe more than that. Let's see here. Ohio State, one. Badgers are four. Penn State is six.
That's three in the top six. Do we know what
wow.
this is? What
four
is,
in the top 15.
I never heard this until
five, six, seven in the top 20. Eight wow. in the top 23. But remember, not everybody's playing. So that also factors in. There's no Pac-12. So, I mean.
Pac-12 ain't got no teams anyway.
Well, okay, fine. Nice shot.
I mean, but, right now, I mean, what? Nice. Well, okay, maybe who? Oregon?
Oregon would
Stanford.
Probably be, yeah.
Yeah.
Stanford with Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, but they'd be below Wisconsin. Well, Oregon would be higher than Wisconsin because they beat Wisconsin. Oregon's supposed to have a stick this year anyway, though. But
yeah, but they lost Justin Herbert.
No, they got a stick because they got a great team coming back. So they would have been higher than Wisconsin. Other than that, Stanford would have been lower than Wisconsin. They got nobody.
What does that mean when you say they got a stick? You got to explain that one to people.
You don't know nobody. Yeah. Dude, when I say they got a stick, y'all don't know.
That, when I think of that, when they say they got a stick,
you remember that?
That made me a Valdosta, Georgia.
Right.
They kept. See, they won championship all the time. They said, man, how that team is over there? They got that walking tall stick, dog.
They got that stick.
They got
there,
five bro. Stars at every position.
Yeah.
Every position got five star recruits.
So let me explain. Let me explain to you what this all is here. So
this ain't real, is it?
There's a lot of numbers involved.
Okay.
But it's all based it's all based on simulations that have been run. And I'm not quite sure how many simulations they do. They have projected win-loss totals as well. We've got Ohio State, 8.2 wins to 0.8 losses. The Badgers, 7.3 wins to 1.7 losses. And then they have percentages, like percentage of season simulation in which the team won all remaining scheduled games as well as conference championship. Ohio State, 38% of the time, ran the table. The Badgers, only 10.5% of the time, ran the table. Then there's another one. Percentage of season simulations, which team won at least six games. 99.8% of the time for Ohio State. The Badgers, 95.9% of the time. Percentage of season simulations, which team won its conference division. For those conferences that have divisions, the Big Ten does have divisions. Ohio State, 75.8% of the time they win their division. The Badgers, 78.7% time they win their division. So that's kind of what this whole thing is here. They have a playoff percentage, chance to make the college football playoff. 68.8% of the time Ohio State did. The Badgers, only 38.7% of the time did they make the college playoff. National championship, 44% of the time for Ohio State. The Badgers at 17.3% of the time to make the national championship, which is fourth best in the country. Next closest was Georgia at 10% of the time. So that's what it is. It's based on simulations, based on rosters and so forth, and playing out the Big Ten schedules that were put together and put out by the teams. Now, again, with the Badgers releasing their schedule today and announcing that John Dyson is coming out of retirement for the Wisconsin Badgers, that offensive line, that helps. But they lose safety Reggie Pearson, who started for them last year, and they were very vague other than to say about Pearson that he's still enrolled at Madison, but they found something out about him from a health perspective in the offseason that they deem to rule him out for the football season. They won't say what or how they found out or whatever the case may be, but that is the reason why he is not listed on the roster that was put out today. So that's something to keep an eye on, losing their starting safety. But they got relatively good depth at that position. I think they'll be okay. This Badger schedule looks pretty good. We'll talk about that coming up next. But first, let me tell you about Sight and Sound Solutions. With the internet more important than ever, people working from home and kids home doing online learning, they can get some help now. Get AT&T Fiber Internet for $39.99. And introducing the new AT&T TV. Stream your channel package, DVR cloud storage with unlimited recordings, access to over 40,000 titles on demand, and access to over 5,000 apps. You can get the AT&T TV Choice Package and Internet for under $89 a month. Yes, you do get Fox Sports Wisconsin with that Choice Package. Still, you get $200 in Visa cards. Good wherever Visa is accepted. You don't have to use it with Sight and Sound Solutions. You don't have to use it with AT&T. You don't have to use it with anything. You can just use it wherever you'd like. Sight and Sound Solutions are saving people money on a monthly basis and offering $200 in Visa cards during these trying times. For existing customers, call Al today. That's my guy, baby. Customer service numero uno. Call Al today, 262-754-1500. 262-754-1500. Sight and Sound Solutions, 262-754-1500. The question, do you think the Badgers are a top four team in college football? We'll find out from Gary and Leroy next.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you as we broadcast live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Asking you, are the Badgers a top four team in college football? ESPN's Power Football Power Index, I can speak. I think so. They right now, again, these are all based on simulations that they do each and every year, and then this Power Index changes throughout the year. Right now, they have the Badgers number four. What say you? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Leroy, let's start with you.
This is kind of confusing. Do they know Jonathan Taylor and Zach Bond left?
I think so. Gary, you think ESPN knows that Jonathan Taylor's playing for the Colts now?
I don't know, man. But Steve, you might be right because the Pac-12 is gone. That may have something to do with it. But, yeah, you know what? And I saw Pluck when he had this today. It was a bit confusing. But, I mean, they only play eight games. It is. They only play eight games. If you go look at the schedule, and really, they only have one game really to play. And so it's a possibility that could possibly work out in their favor.
Maybe they see something. I don't see.
Well, here's what they got.
And Cephas left?
Well, Michigan is at Michigan. Man. That's going to be
tough. I got the schedule right here. I can read it. Okay, yeah. So they start off versus Illinois Saturday, October 24th at Camp Randall. Now, remember, there are no neutral games. There's no Lambeau game, none of that stuff.
No.
Saturday, October 31st at Nebraska on the Whiners, Scott Frost and company.
They put it to Nebraska, boy. Did you hear they whining about their schedule?
Yeah, that's why I call them the Whiners. They're getting ripped all over the country for being whiners.
They put it to them.
Yep. Saturday, November, I'm telling you, you don't mess around with this Big Ten, man. I mean, you want to try, go ahead and test them. They will figure it out. Saturday, November 7th, home against Purdue. We'll see what Brahm and company has down there. Maybe they'll get better. Saturday, November 14th at Michigan. I know it's Harbaugh, but this might be the most talented team they've had to this point. Let's ask Van Plucker. Plucker's other side of the glass. He writes a blog for, what is it called, Maize and Brew?
Yeah, that's right.
See, look at me. I'm all over it. Maize and Brew, a blog covering Michigan Wolverine sports. How talented is this Michigan team?
Well, they've got a lot of holes, I'll put it that way.
Oh, good.
Ambry Thomas, who is their projected top 10 cornerback, pick in the NFL draft. He opted out. Their best wide receiver, Nico Collins, opted out. Now, there's rumors that both of them might be opting back in, but they lost four of their five starting offensive linemen to the draft this year. And then their quarterback, Shea Patterson, is no longer there. But there's a lot of hope.
Where did Shea Patterson go?
He went to the draft as well. He was undrafted, actually. He was undrafted and went to the Chiefs and then was cut from the Chiefs and is currently a free agent. But if we're talking quarterbacks now, Dylan McCaffrey, who's Christian McCaffrey's younger brother and Ed McCaffrey's son, he actually just decided to transfer because he lost the quarterback job to Joe Milton, which a lot of people are comparing to Cam Newton-esque, including Urban Meyer. So we'll see kind of where the offense goes from here in the second year under former Alabama offensive coordinator Josh Gattis.
Yeah, it's a little bit different when you don't have Nick Saban recruiting for you. But either way, Michigan's maybe not as good as I thought they were. So that's at Michigan, November 14th.
Well, it's at Michigan, though, so it's always going to be tough.
Correct.
Tough game.
Well, that doesn't matter. There's no fans. Saturday, November 21st at Northwestern. Saturday, November 28th, home against Minnesota. December 5th, home against...
Northwestern's always a tough game.
It is. Pat Fitzgerald, yep. November 28th, home against Minnesota. December 5th, home against the Hoosiers. And then Saturday the 12th, as always, finish in Iowa. And then after that
Minnesota game, we'll see what that Iowa. I don't know what they look like. They got some turmoil a little bit in Iowa.
I don't know how Kirk Ferentz still has his job.
I don't know how that happened.
The following weekend, Steve, you get this goofy thing that they made up where Big Ten championship game happens, but then every cross team seeding wise plays each other. So on the 19th, you'll have the one seed versus one seed, two seed versus two seed, three versus three, four versus four. All the way down to give them one additional game before the college playoff brackets come out. So if the Badgers do win their side, and Ohio State wins their side, Big Ten championship game still happens like normal. But let's say they end up in second and somebody else wins, then the Badgers would get the second place team on the other side for a chance to get one more quality win. Hopefully that team would be a quality opponent. On the other side, in the other division, to add to their resume right before those playoff announcement comes out. So we'll see. And there has been no talk that I've heard of, maybe Plucker has. I've heard nothing about bowl games and whether or not those are happening in January. I've not heard a word as far as they're going to do them to get the sponsorship money. Look, man, there's a lot of TV money that goes in with that all that stuff on New Year's. There's a lot of title sponsorship that goes in with all that. None of that has anything to do with anybody being in the stands. Everything has to do with TV exposure, radio exposure, and everything that goes along with it. So we can sit here and go, well, now, why would they? There's no way. Well, I mean, I don't think there's a no way yet. We'll just have to wait and see how this whole thing plays out. All right, coming up next on the other side, you will have a chance to hear from David Stearns, Brewers president of baseball operations and general manager. He joined us yesterday. Now, this was before the Brewers got that big win last night. I saw a tweet from Major League Baseball today, and it had Devin Williams featured with his numbers for the year. And talking about the fact that he could very well win Rookie of the Year in Major League Baseball this year.
Really?
And the last pitcher to win Rookie of the Year, I believe, was DeGrom with the Mets. So it's been a while since a pitcher's won Rookie of the Year. Josh Hader talking about how he should win Reliever of the Year. Devin Williams should at the end of the day. So a lot of accolades coming in for the young reliever for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll hear from David Stearns coming up next, and then Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette will join us live at 4:45 here on the Wendy's Big Show. But first, Gary Ellerson will tell you about where you should go to buy some nice jewelry for your significant other. Maybe you need to get out of the doghouse. Maybe you need a birthday present. Maybe you're thinking ahead for the holidays and trying to pay down maybe a nice piece of jewelry before Christmas to have it, or whatever the case may be. Where do they go, Gary?
Well, it's the Jewelry Center, Steve. 76 in Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Blue Mile Road, and Tri-City National Bank Building. And a third location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. Guys, go check my good friend out, Dean Murray, today. And you know I talk about him a lot. And the reason why I do, because I want to pass my savings on to you guys. And you know that I am on perpetual scholarships, meaning that I don't want to pay a lot for a whole.
Perpetual.
I don't want to pay a lot. I don't pay a lot. So I'm going to let you know how to save money.
Well,
you want to save money? Yeah, a great deal all the time. You want to save some money? Go to Jewelry Center. You looking for something by your girl? Go to Jewelry Center. Your girl, if your girl is looking for some jewelry for you, her man, go to the Jewelry Center. Go see Dean Murray. He's the owner. He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you the best possible deal on any piece of jewelry that he has in his store. You're going to get the most money for your old gold jewelry that right now, cash money they're going to give you. And Leroy, how else can they get a hold of the good folks at the Jewelry Center?
ShopTJC.com. That's ShopTJC.com. Matter of fact, the Jewelry Center is my pregame sponsor before the Packer game this Sunday night at 6:30. You can watch that live on my Facebook page at Leap36. Dean Murray, again, the Jewelry Center.
How does that work with you, Leroy? Do people get to ask you questions prior to the game, how does that work?
Yep. Yeah, you got to submit questions, I think, by Friday, and then they kind of randomly choose them, you know, and then you can ask questions.
And then it's video so they can see you and the whole deal?
Yeah, it's live.
Nice. That's pretty
live.
Cool. Yeah. All right, then. Good stuff. All right, coming up next, we'll hear from President of Baseball Operations and General Manager for your Milwaukee Brewers, David Stearns, here on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you here on the Fan. We broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. And don't forget, coming up tonight, check out our primetime special, I'm Listening, to address mental health in the age of COVID-19, social justice, and civic engagement with headliners from all different parts of the entertainment world. From 6 to 8 o'clock tonight here on The Fan. That's I'm Listening. 6 to 8 o'clock tonight here on The Fan. Brewers play this afternoon at 5:30 or so. The franchise, Tim Allen, will be here immediately following that one with the Bayview Shade and Blinds postgame show here on The Fan. Hopefully, a big win tonight against Cincinnati really would set the stage for how this whole thing plays out when they get to deal with the St. Louis Cardinals next. And that's the one thing I'm really looking forward to seeing as far as how that series is going to go. Because you're talking about a game tomorrow against in St. Louis against the Cardinals. Two games, a doubleheader on Friday, seven innings each. And then a game on Saturday, game on Sunday. And then hopefully at that point we'll know the Brewers' fate. Now, if there's a scenario where the Cardinals' fate is determined by two more games that they would be short because they're going to end up at 58, then they would then have to take on the Tigers in a possible doubleheader on Monday before the Brewers may know their fate and the Cardinals know their fate, and the playoffs start a week from today for Major League Baseball. So a lot to be determined here in the next several days. And David Stearns joined us, the president of baseball operations for the Brewers and GM. And we got to talking yesterday on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline about how different things are this year and how maybe philosophies have changed as far as, you know, how long of a leash you give certain guys like Justin Smoke, who maybe would have got a longer leash had this been a normal season, but that didn't happen this year.
That's exactly right. I think there has to be a level of urgency in a two-month season. We're talking about literally a third of a season that we normally have in Major League Baseball when you're talking about a two-month season instead of a six-month season. And we've had to adjust accordingly. And we've made some moves that, for a front office like ours, an organization like ours, we're generally really patient. We've had to change our philosophy a little bit. We have moved on from some guys like Brock and Justin Smoke, guys with pretty good Major League careers who you would envision at some point we'd get things going, but we didn't have time. And, that lack of patience this year, I think, is warranted. We've gotten ourselves into the thick of things right here over the last week. And hopefully we can win some games here in Cincinnati and St. Louis and get ourselves into the playoffs again.
You know, how difficult though, David, has this been with under the circumstances you guys are playing for the players mentally? I see some of the averages, the hitting averages are down around Major League Baseball. It feels like guys are trying to, you know, struggle through it or get through it. Has it been that difficult for players mentally?
I think it's been very challenging, and I think everyone is dealing with it in a different way. Some guys are able to compartmentalize a little bit better than others, and some it's become a real challenge over the course of the year. But this is such a different environment across all sports, but I think particularly in baseball. Such a different environment that athletes have to perform in that it's a massive adjustment, and it's really tough to overstate.
Yeah, Dave, I got two questions for you. The second one will be a Ryan Braun question, so you can get prepared for that. How did you this Daniel Vogelbach, how you say his name? I'm not sure how you said it.
That's right. That's right. You got it.
Okay, I went to Florida State. Sorry, I apologize.
You got it.
He was 5-for-57 with the Mariners and the Blue Jays, and then you want to claim, and he's been 15-for-36. He's been on fire. Your scouting department or your people looking for players like that, is it sometimes a guy gets put in the right situation, he gets the chance to excel?
Yeah, I think that's a great example of what we were just talking about, where in a shortened season like this, teams have to make decisions that maybe otherwise they wouldn't have made. I don't know whether a guy like Dan Vogelbach gets put on waivers in a normal six-month season, but in a shortened season, over 50-something plate appearances, if you don't perform, it stands out a little bit. You get into late August or so, and you're halfway through the season, and clubs feel like they have to make decisions. So that's a situation where we probably have benefited from another club making a decision a little bit faster than they otherwise might have. We were able to claim Dan, and he's been outstanding since he got here.
Talking with David Stearns, the president of baseball operations, general manager for your Milwaukee Brewers here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ryan Braun has been on fire lately. Had some back issues the other night, came back and played right away the next day when he could barely make it to first base. I think that was on Friday, came back and played right away again on Saturday and Sunday. Obviously going into a situation where you got that mutual option left on his deal, kind of reminiscing, it sounds like, from Ryan Braun. How are you kind of viewing this thing with Braun going into the offseason as far as wanting him back at a lesser price, possible retirement? I guess, how do you view this whole thing?
There are so many unknowns, and I think Ryan's been really candid and upfront about that, not only about his situation, his desire to play, but also just what the world in baseball is going to look like next year. And so I think he rightfully is going to take some time into the offseason, spend some time with his family, let this season wear off a little bit. Even though it's only been 60 games, it's been a really grinding season for players. And so let this season wear off and then see where he is and maybe see where the world is, see what a major league season next year is going to look like. But at this point, I think his focus and our focus is let's get to the playoffs and let's give him a chance to perform on the national stage once again, because whenever he's gotten there in his career, he's performed.
So far this season, David, who has been the most surprising player for you on this Brewers roster, maybe in your pitching rotation staff or maybe a specialist player?
So I think we've got a couple of arms that have really taken steps forward. It starts with Corbin Burnes in our starting rotation, who's put himself really in the center of the Cy Young Award race. Corbin had a really challenging year last year, and he worked exceptionally hard over the offseason. He's turned himself into one of the better pitchers in the National League. And then following him up in the bullpen with Devin Williams has really taken a giant step forward in his development. Been absolutely incredible out of our bullpen all year. Features one of the more devastating pitches in all of baseball with his changeup. Certainly one of the most unique pitches in all of baseball. So those two guys would be the guys that jump to my head first and foremost, those guys who have really taken giant leaps forward and are big reasons why we're in the thick of things here in the last week.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Orlando Arcia. He's had a great year to me. But the people I want to talk about is, because I never thought David hitting would be something that we would ever talk about, that you could always hit. And Yelich has not had a great season. And it just seemed like to me, we don't know what's going on with that. But I know you can kind of sympathize what he's going through. When you're able to talk to him, do you find out what's going on? Is it something mentally? Is it Lorenzo Cain not being there? Is it he has to do more in the locker room? Is it is it COVID-19? I don't know. It could be a lot of things. It could be in a pandemic for certain players like that. So is he doing okay otherwise?
Yeah, I think Yelly's doing fine, and he's not pleased with how he's performed this year, because he holds himself to incredibly high standards, and he set those standards for himself the way he's performed since he's been a Brewer. It's a standard that we come to expect just because we've seen it so consistently from him. But he's working hard. This is a really tough game, and as you guys certainly know, these guys aren't robots. And they go through slumps, and players can press, and when that happens, it can steamroll on you. But he's through all of that. I will say, he's playing hard, he's working hard, and he's still contributing to winning games. And you look at games we win, and it's often because Christian Yelich is doing something really helpful to help us win a game.
You know, David, I guess for me being the fan and kind of always looking ahead and trying to make the perfect team, as Gary would like to say.
Uh-oh, brace yourself.
Well, I got to bring it up because, again, I mean,
you
just
don't have
first,
to bring it up.
First base, third base, both positions that I think, you'd like to add more to going ahead. As far as this team going into next season, from a salary standpoint, how has this affected what you'll be able to do next year by not having fans this year and playing through this pandemic?
I think that's something we're going to have to evaluate as we go into the offseason. The true answer is, I don't know. And we're probably not going to know until we get farther into the offseason, and perhaps even until we get an understanding of what next year could look like for us. Clearly, not having fans in the ballpark is going to have a very meaningful impact on the revenue that we bring in. That's going to be true for every team in baseball, probably even more so for a team like ours that relies on in stadium attendance so much, and our fans have done an incredible job supporting us in stadium over the years. So I think that's a really reasonable question. It's one that we don't have an answer to right now. But I think those realities are going to play a part in the offseason for every team in baseball to varying extents.
You know, Dave, have you guys talked any more about the playoffs and what that will look like if Major League Baseball intend to try to go inside a bubble, and where would that be held, and how would that look?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like at this point. The first round, which is the wild card round, will be held at the home ballpark of the team with the higher seed. And then beginning with the next round, teams will go into a bubble. So the National League bubble will be held in the Houston and then Dallas areas. And then the American League bubble will be held in Southern California. So we've got a pretty good idea about how this is going to look. Now it's our job to get there.
Yeah. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on is changing up how aggressive the lineup will change. And I know you're not into the, you know, strategy like Council is, but it was refreshing to see Luis let him play maybe second base, and you can keep Arcia, and then you could put Keston here at the DH. That's where the DH, I think, benefited, because a lot of people don't like the DH, but you can get some of your best defenders out there and your best hitters to just hit. So how has the DH changed the complexion of this year for your team?
I think you just gave a great example. It's allowed us to keep guys, whether it's Keston or Yelly or Avi Garcia or Ryan Braun, guys in the lineup who maybe need a day off their legs. It allows you to keep them in the lineup more often and keep their bat going. And more recently, it's probably allowed us to give a guy whose strength is in the batter's box. And
you got to say who you were talking about. You broke up there, David. We missed the person's name. That's okay.
Daniel Vogelbach.
Thanks.
So a guy like Daniel Vogelbach, whose strength is probably more in the box and not as much in the field. It gives him a chance to really impact the team offensively.
Nice.
Since you brought up Dan Vogelbach, I'm going to follow up with another one. David Stearns, president of baseball operations, general manager for your Milwaukee Brewers. So when you evaluate a guy, and I had saw your quotes when you brought Vogelbach in as far as he still had good strike zone judgment and still had that hit tool and so forth. And he's just coming off of an all-star appearance last year. As a fan, something that always irritates me is, well, he was really good 2 or 3 years ago, and we think he'll find it again. For you, is there a timeline or a certain thing that you look at and go, yeah, it was 2 years ago, but, you know, I think he can still get back to that point from a couple of years ago. Is there that thing for you that you go, ah, that was 3, 4 years ago. That's too long ago. Like, we're just going to look at somebody else at this point.
So recency definitely helps, right? When it's only a year ago, it probably gives you a little bit more confidence that's still in there.
Well, but for me as a fan, yes, yes.
Yeah. But look, we did something similar with Jed Jerko, right? Jed didn't have a great year last year. It's been a couple of years since he was healthy and really able to contribute. And so we took a chance on Jed, and he's certainly done his part. He's been probably the most consistent bat in our lineup all year, playing both first and third. And so that's an example of a guy who we thought it was in there. It hadn't maybe surfaced consistently at the major league level for the last couple of years, but he's shown it to us this year.
Okay, now we got to get to the family. We'll let you get going. How's the family doing? Have you changed diapers yet with one hand? I can do that.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta pray. So you're going to get sprayed sometimes.
One-handed, eyes closed. I'm pretty proficient at this point. And
there you go.
In diaper changing. No, I thank you for asking. Family's all good, happy, healthy, and I hope your guys is the same.
There he is, David Stearns, just a good dude to talk to. Join us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline yesterday here on the Wendy's Big Shows. We broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Up next, we will hear from Ryan Wood, a Green and Gold insider from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Get the latest on who practiced, who didn't practice today for the Packers. What's the status of Devontae Adams going forward? Will they have him Sunday night for the Saints? He'll answer all of that and more straight ahead here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan, live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Sparky, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and this guy, Ryan Wood, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ryan, first things first, I'll start off with David Bakhtiari's comments yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show that I know you saw. As far as if Kansas City can do it and if they want us, then the Packers should be able to do the same thing for us. Do you think that Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones will both be brought back to this Packers team?
I think David Bakhtiari has got a better chance than Aaron Jones. And that's not to say that Aaron Jones won't be. I mean, Aaron Jones has said that his agent is working in negotiations with the Packers.
Right.
So I would think that, yeah, I mean, there's a real possibility of that. The point David Bakhtiari is making, he's dead accurate with this, is that if both of them are not back, it's not because of the cap. Because cap manipulation is very real in the NFL. And there's a lot of things you can do in terms of proration, in terms of backloading cap hits and those sort of things to get under the cap. It's not a real impediment. And so that was David Bakhtiari's argument. And as far as Bakhtiari's future, I have a really hard time imagining that he's not in a Packers uniform next year. He is an all-pro left tackle with not only an aging future Hall of Fame quarterback, but very likely a quarterback transition coming up in the next few years, both of which situations are, it's very ideal to have an all-pro left tackle. Just, hey, the blind side, you don't have to worry about it. It's taken care of. That's what David Bakhtiari does for you. So even if they can't get up to Laremy Tunsil's $22 million APY, even if there's a disconnect there, you've got to think at the end of the day they're going to franchise David Bakhtiari. I cannot imagine him being in another uniform next year. It would be stunning to let that happen.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. But I think Aaron Jones, it may be about how good A.J. Dillon can be, and we don't know that yet. But right now, I don't know if they knew if Aaron Jones could be this good or this dynamic. I mean, if it keeps going its way, and let's just hope that it does, and knock on wood that he stays healthy, I mean, he could be one of the most dynamic running backs in the league with the way they're using him offensively. So you look at the investment is just going up for him, not down.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that the more fascinating debate with Aaron Jones is really not just Aaron Jones or David Bakhtiari. I think David Bakhtiari is locked, sealed, and done. I mean, that's got to happen, right?
Right.
But it's Aaron Jones or Kevin King. And if you're playing fantasy football, I mean, who's the more dynamic player? It's Aaron Jones, right? But which is the more valuable position? It's cornerback. Who's on this roster to replace Kevin King? Nobody. Aaron Jones has a potential replacement in place in the form of A.J. Dillon. Again, because of cap manipulation, it's not something where it has to be one or the other. They can re-sign both. They can do things with the cap to make that happen. But in terms of a cash flow, in terms of value assessment, I think it's closer than people realize because Kevin King, if he stays healthy again, and the medical's a red flag, he is a good corner in this league. Good corners are really, really valuable commodities in this league. There's not enough good corners in this league, and you've got two of them in Kevin King and Jaire Alexander. So much of what they do defensively hinges off the idea that they're good on the perimeter. The perimeter coverage is solid. You put both those guys in man-on-man coverage, and you let your pass rushers go get them. In the middle of the field, you rotate the help. You're good on the perimeter. That's their defense. If you lose Kevin King, you're losing a big part of that defensive philosophy, that defensive identity. Again, I don't think it's an either-or. I think that both those guys are good players, and they're core players for the Packers, and both those guys are players that the Packers need to re-sign. But I do think that it's an interesting debate if they approach it as, okay, only one, which one you re-sign, because running backs don't get paid in this league. That's a reality of that position. And they've got a potential replacement in A.J. Dillon, where cornerbacks who do get paid in this league,
they don't really have a replacement for Kevin King.
Yeah, I want to move to injuries. Billy Turner, we saw Corey Leslie leave the game, and of course Devontae Adams. But the Saints, I mean, I don't know if Michael Thomas is, I don't know if he's going to play or not. I don't know. But I think injuries as a whole has really hit the NFL and some of the top players. So maybe it'll come down to the the healthiest team. But have you heard anything on the injuries, or the Packers have been pretty tight-lipped about it?
Well, Corey Lindsley was out there today, so that's promising. Kenny Clark was not. Until Kenny Clark is out, you just kind of assume that he's not available. He'll be back when he can be back, you know. That groin, who knows?
Yeah, I don't want to see him until the bye week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I apologize. I said I don't want to see Kenny Clark until after the bye week.
that makes sense. Yeah, even if it's not the bye, they've got a long week of Monday Night Football coming up week four, so there's some time there. Devontae Adams, who knows? He didn't practice today. It could very, very well be a situation where he doesn't practice all week and just goes out there on Sunday. That could be very well the situation with Devontae Adams. Just depends on the hamstring. It was bloody carnage throughout the NFL on Sunday. I mean, teams got ravaged with injuries, and we didn't see it. I mean, I was watching the Packers, and the Packers, as has been the case since Matt LaFleur took over, the Packers were unscathed. They've been remarkably healthy since the start of last year. But you better believe Matt LaFleur is very well aware of what other teams, other contenders in the league endured last week. And they're going to be careful with their guys, because this season, every season is a war of attrition, every single season in the NFL. But this season, more than any, because of the uniqueness of the offseason, because of the difficulty in just getting guys back and getting their bodies back, this season, more than any, is really a war of attrition. So they're going to be beyond cautious with their core guys that they need in the long haul.
Maybe we can ask you this question. Maybe you know, maybe you don't know. But because we know they're short on defensive linemen, what is their maybe apprehension or thoughts of what's wrong with, is it Snacks Harrison? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they bring him in? Do you know why that wouldn't be? Just,
you know,
off the top of your head?
I don't know an exact answer to that. It's really, for me, the same as any time a guy is out there for an extended period of time, unsigned, and especially in this case, a guy who's 31 years old and has got some mileage. If a guy's not getting signed, there's usually a reason for it. And this guy's not getting signed by any team right now. So that's not to say it won't happen. And sometimes teams just miss the boat. I mean, look at Cam Newton, how long he was unsigned this offseason,
right?
And he's a guy. I mean, everyone missed the boat on that. So sometimes teams can miss. But
was there ever an issue with him on a personal side or anything like that with him? Or because we know Cam had some bad.
I don't know enough about the situation to say one way or the other. You know, he's on the wrong side of 30. He's been unsigned for a while. Yeah. And you see that happen sometimes. You know, Snacks Harrison, he's got a big personality. I don't think that this is a Packers team that is averse to big personality. Za'Darius Smith has as big a personality as anybody. They love Za'Darius Smith, and for every good reason. So, you know, I don't know that there's anything there, but I don't know. I just kind of always fall back on there's a reason why a guy's not getting signed. I don't necessarily know what it is, but other teams might.
Well, let me throw Clay Matthews out there too. Then won't they bring him in?
Yeah.
Too? Gary, you want to see him?
Well, I mean, I think he could help him at inside backer. But Clay, now, I guess the word was that Clay was actually looking at going somewhere, I forget where the team, and they could not agree on a contract.
Denver, yeah, and they didn't agree on the price. I thought at the beginning of the offseason, Clay Matthews made a lot of sense because what they needed was more depth at outside linebacker and more depth at inside linebacker. So, hey, if you can get a guy kind of like Zach Bond, right, out of Wisconsin in the draft, but if you can get a guy on the open market who can do both, then it makes sense. That is literally Clay Matthews. But, you know, the reality, Chris Barnes has had two really good weeks at inside linebacker. Kamal Martin had a really good camp at inside linebacker. Christian Kirksey's been all over the place. That's not to say that in two games they've solved the position. I mean, that would be really premature, right? But it is possible that inside linebacker is not the train wreck that we all thought it was going to be going into the year. It has been much better than I expected for 2 weeks. And slowly you're starting to see some potential there with some of the young guys. You know, they're going to get Kamal Martin back and see if he can kind of, if he's healthy with the knee and he can kind of pick up where he left off in camp. Chris Barnes has been pretty good. I mean, he's, for undrafted guy, he's a heck of a player, and they've got the veteran Christian Kirksey. So, you know, sometimes what we think is needs is not actually needs. And at some level, you know, teams are wrong all the time, but sometimes they get it right too.
Right, there he is, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. He always gets it right. He joins us on Wednesdays and Fridays here on the Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Ryan, we'll talk to you on Friday.
All right, take care, guys.
There he is, Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion are growing your home, Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane comes up next here on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.